name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm going to begin the exposition of the Gospel starting with the last verses. You remember last week, if you were here, that Fadi Mina was speaking about the meaning of he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, what precedes it is that salt is good, but if salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. Now, in the first reading of this, I thought the dunghill was like a trash heap. But no, I'm thinking more now because of the small research that the PhD candidate, Manny Gerges, did. Salt actually helps, a little bit of salt actually helps the process of breaking down foodstuffs so that they are in their essential chemical compounds so that they can be used to fertilize fields. So a dung field has human and animal waste, it also has vegetable waste and many other things that work for that. I don't know who the first guy was that figured that out, but I won't make that bad joke. But the Lord was speaking about this in the sense of there was a multitude of people following him. And when he saw this great throng of people, he said, I'm going to winnow you out. You know what winnowing means? It means a guy who has a big net, and he has grain in it. And the grain has seed, and it has the hulls, or the casings around seed. It has part of the stem. I hate to bring this up, but if anybody has ever cleaned marijuana, you know what I'm talking about. They take it then, and they throw it up into the air, and the heavy seed falls back down into the net. But that which is lighter, the wind blows away. So he's using this winnowing process of these few statements to winnow this crowd down. Who's here? Who's here listening to me today? That's what he's saying. Who is here that is listening to me today? Who has the ears to hear? See, we are called, rightly so, the salt of the earth. We are called the salt of the earth, but only insofar as we have protected that salt, and only insofar that that which gives preservative to the rest of the world is in ourselves perfectly preserved. And what are we talking about? Scripture. Do you know how many times people will take something and move it around just a little bit to create hell on earth? A priest, just like myself, from Alexandria, just like myself. He took the word in Greek, which means essence. If I transliterated, it would be O-U-S-I-A, ousia. And he'll add an I to it. He'll add an I, a iota, or in Coptic, iota in Greek. He'll add it. And he'll change it from essence to like essence. Because, you see, he was confounded. Now, I don't know what his agenda was. I don't know if he was really and truly confused or whether he was being backed into a corner and therefore his stubborn streak came out and he would not listen to reason. But I know that I'm a better priest than he was, because I can tell you that I measure every single word that I say by the fathers. And if there is something that does not comport with the reading of history that we have had come down to us and the many scholarly texts that we have, I change. And I have said this to you, and you are my witness many times. If you ever hear me say something that is wrong, don't wait. Say immediately, Abuna, I think you've misspoken. I believe you meant to say, and then you provide the correction, and therefore my dignity remains intact and your teaching remains unsullied. But I'm serious about that. I do not want to say one word that is heterodox. If I am knowingly saying that, you may do anything to me that you wish, because I do not want to end up like Arius. And that's what we're talking about. And Arius is alive and well today. There's the Seventh-day Adventists. There's the Jehovah's Witnesses. There's the Christian Scientists. There's the Mormon Church. They're just moving right along as though nothing whatsoever had occurred since the 4th century. And he had plenty of time to have known Chrysostom. His writings were disseminated all the way through. He was a contemporary of Athanasius the Apostolic. There were so many people that he could have learned from. Why did he not learn? So therefore, that which he preserved in him was the salt that was not fit for the dunghill, but only be trampled underfoot by men. And that's the meaning of it. See, if you're going to bother to learn a verse from the Bible, then you must learn it in its full context. And you must learn it from the mouths of the fathers. Now, I know we differ in orthodoxy, as we do everywhere else in Christendom, about who the legitimate fathers are. But as Soren Kierkegaard said, I have a way of thinking. That's a very subtle statement, by the way. I have a way of thinking. If you haven't figured it out, I'm Coptic Orthodox to the bone. And there is nothing that is going to disabuse me from that. Now, I can admire things that I have seen written. I can say that things that were written outside of the confession of Coptic Orthodoxy are orthodox. I am not so parochial that I think that only from the mouth of an Egyptian that came from that part of the world has value. That's ridiculous. But I know the difference. I know the difference. And if at any time I'm deceived, then you stand up and you say, Abuna, I think what you meant to say was, then you correct me, and everybody learns, and my dignity is intact. And I don't care that much of my dignity anyway. But I want to say something else. Let's go to the first part of the message today. If anybody does not hate. If anybody does not hate, and what it gives a litany. Father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. It doesn't mention brother-in-law. I'd have to raise my hand on that one. Even as soon as I've got plenty of hate for my brother-in-law. But that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to not have natural affection. Natural affection for your mother and your sisters and your brother and your father and all your relatives. And even the people that are not your relatives. Natural affection because of the common humanity. Because you see the imprint of the Savior on their face. I met this guy in Home Depot yesterday. I was shopping for a refrigerator after years of fighting with my wife. You know, I get one shelf in the refrigerator. Everything else is hers. I don't even get one shelf in the freezer. Not even one shelf. I decided I have to buy a second refrigerator and bargain with her to get half of it. It's not... So I met this guy. His name is Julian. He works on La Mirada Boulevard, Home Depot La Mirada. He's from Cameroon, and he's dark, really dark, and he has a French accent, and all of his education. How do I know this guy? How do I learn this stuff about this guy, right? I didn't just come up to see the Home Depot uniform, you know, that's on and ask him about how much this Samsung refrigerator is. No. I said, this guy is not from around here. Let me see what he's about. I have natural affection Do you understand? When I see somebody that is different, I'm not interested. If you're the same lily white people that I grew up with, I'm not that much interested in what you have to say or what you have to think, because I already know. We did the same things. We wore the same clothes. We ate the same food. We danced at the same dance places. We did everything the same. I want the different person. I want the person that can perhaps enlarge my experience and my intelligence and the base of my experience. So I have natural effect. God is not saying get rid of that. But what he is saying is, if you prefer, and you know how much I love my grandson, he's the apple of my eye. If you prefer him to me, you're not fit. You are unfit. Now, there was a young woman who has a baby, and she came to church early this morning. She's not with us right now, but maybe she's listening. I said to her, come on, church. It's time to pray. I just got here. That was her response. I just got here. Okay. She didn't show up. She didn't show up for one prayer during Vespers. I mean, Matins. Excuse me. Not one prayer. Now, when she came in, which was at the very, very end, when I was praying the absolution, she was fiddling around trying to get a head covering for herself. All right? Now, what do you think her response is going to be when she hears from your mouths that I was speaking about her? Well, I was here a lot earlier than a lot of other people. There were people that came an hour after me. How come you're not speaking about them? Yeah, that's a good point, isn't it? Bet you know I've got an answer. Some, it says in the Bible, are going to bring forth 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So a person who is able to bring forth 100 and brings forth 85 is much worse than the person who brings forth 27, but the capacity is 30. Well, Abuna, how do you judge which is able to bring forth 100 and which is... Excuse me, that is my job. That is precisely my job, to be able to look as Jesus did. Did he not have 12 disciples? Who was with them at every single important moment that was secret? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. Mount Tabor, Peter, James, and John. Tabitha, Kumi. Peter, James, and John. It is always those three. Why? The other nine weren't chopped liver. But Peter, James, and John were seminal to the work that the Lord would establish. And they had the personalities, and more than that, they had the ability to maintain without adulteration, without addition, without diminution, without any hurt to that which was put inside them. They were fit vessels. Some people are completely unfit. You pour something inside them, leaks all out the bottom. I had a car like that. The main seal was bad. Those of you who know about that, it's between the transmission and the engine. And you lose oil. I used to go to the gas station all the time, and the guy would say, oh, boy, your car uses a lot of oil. I said, only smokes the best. And it's true. Car smoked and smoked and smoked. Not me, but the car. Well, why don't you fix that? It's not worth fixing. And sorry to say, some people are not worth fixing. Not because they were created in a way that was inferior, but they have so hurt themselves and they are so damaged. If you started to patch them up, all you would see is band-aids. You wouldn't see the human any longer. They'd look as though they had been mummified. And we were, well, not anybody that I know, not anybody in my family. Oh, yeah? I'm telling you this because we are coming to the point where we are going to prepare ourselves for the incarnate Logos, the living Word of God. Jesus Christ is going to be born unto us. Unto us a Son is given. And His name is Emmanuel, God with you. How do you have to be in order to receive Him? How do you have to be? Now, since the baby reminded me, because the baby's crying. When you have a young mother who's taking care of a baby, yes, they have to go and be changed when they have to be changed. If the young mother, however, does not know how to change her baby in 10 minutes, the 70-year-old priest will show them. Because I can change any baby in 10 minutes, diarrhea or not. And if they really want to pay attention when they are in church, if they've been used to nursing the baby, they can simply express milk, put it in bottles, and bring it to church so that they do not have to run out because they are shy to wear a serape or whatever that thing is called and nurse beneath the serape inside church. Which that is not haram, by the way. It's only haram if there's indecency. But it's not indecent to feed a child under any circumstances. But you see, when the woman who, oh, this cute little baby, 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 I don't have time to listen to the prayer. Because I got the cute little baby, got the cute little baby, got the cute little baby, got the cute little baby. And I go around the church and walking around. Got the cute little baby, got the cute little baby. You see my cute little baby? Oh, it's a cute little baby. Wow, it's a cute little baby. Why? Why? Are babies unusual? We were all babies. Babies are the most usual thing in the world. It's like showing somebody from Saudi Arabia, a handful of sand. Hey, look at this, sand. Babies are everywhere. But somehow in the psychology of the young mother, they say, oh, this is really special. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's the process that God gave us. That's all it is. Like many other processes. And He's saying, don't put that first. As precious as that child is to you, he's more precious to me. Don't take him out of my house. Stay in the house with me. The church will accommodate. Why do you think I'm the guy, the one guy in this entire diocese who lets babies cry? Why? You know, I went years ago. I don't know if many of you remember the name Mary Soriel. She's in Northern California now, but she was for a long time the child that Abuna Antonio Sanena and Tasuni Therese never had. She was always with them. She was always there. This is a young woman who can go without sleep for 2-3 days. Regularly. 2 or 3 hours a night sleep is all she ever requires. She's very ardent in all these things. And even with this, there will be things that will trouble, emotional things that will trouble, or an intellectual thought that will trouble and keep even a person like that away from the altar. So how about us? How about us when we come to church? What's keeping us away from the altar? Is there any gift? Is there any gift greater than the gift of life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us in His own flesh and blood? It's His gift. Here, take it. What does it cost? Everything? Yes, it costs everything. Everything you possess. That's why you have to hate your father, your mother, your wife, your sister, your husband, for some of you, your lover. You have to give it all up. But then you get this other thing. That's why He turned to the multitudes. And He said it. He said, why are you following me? Because I'm a gifted orator? Because I'm saying words of hope? These words aren't meant for you. These words of hope are not meant for you unless you are someone that will fill yourself up with the hope, which means hopeful. You ever think of that word? Hopeful? That person is hopeful. Full of hope. But it has to be supplanted with action. You know? Faith without works is dead. So says James, the disciple, in his epistle. Faith without works is dead. So we hope, but we do at the same time. So I've talked about these different kinds of things, showing you that, and had you been here earlier when we were praying the Psalms in Matins, you'd have seen me going and correcting my grandson, the one I love most in the whole world, in front of everybody, saying, "You don't mumble in church. I know the prayers by heart, and I can tell if you're going or if you're really saying something. So you can't fool me." That's why we pray the prayers out loud. The other churches don't. The other churches say, choice dana, choice dana, choice dana, choice dana, and the Egyptians that are inside the church can't finish it. They can't finish it. If you get one of them and you say, "Okay, you stand up right now and you say it by yourself." "Well, I could say it when other people are saying it." You know how many times I've heard that? It means the person is a one-legged man. And he can walk if he has help. But he can't walk by himself. Neither can he stand on one leg, unless he's Takalahaima Newt, who stood on his one leg for 33 years. So I'm telling you these things, because this is what the fathers are preparing us for. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Word is coming. The Word which I have spoken to you. This Word is coming. How are you going to receive it? Like every other spoken word? In one ear, out the other. Sounds good for a time. Remember the parable that we had just 2 weeks ago? The soil? The bad soil is trodden on all the time. The rocky soil, the soil that has the tares or the thistles or the weeds grow up amongst it. The shallow soil where the plant shoots up right away but has no root and withers at the first sun. Or the good soil. We must prepare ourselves. So that's why I am, this is for you, see, uncharacteristically harsh. And it's my job as the watchman to prepare you. And while I prepare you, I remind you to prepare me. It's reciprocity. It's not me looking down my nose at you. It's me saying, "Look at me, eye to eye. Let's help each other to be saved, to be found acceptable to our Lord." To when we praise Him, to have this effusion of emotion be the same as when we see the delightful face of a young child or the person that we love smiling at us. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.